Hey, what's up, Toby? We made another week.
Hey buddy,
It
how you
is
doing?
the I'm doing well. I know I was about
Alive
ready to just
and
hop into our topic for the day because I'm ex actually excited about it. But this was
yeah.
slightly inspired by Charlie
Perfect.
Munger.
Yeah, of Berkshire Hathaway
Yes,
fame.
he is the less famous Warren Buffett, although
That's
his
right.
partner lived to be in his 90s. I was watching an interview of him. It was a clip. He's got classic clips. If you ever want to watch someone who's just incredibly
I love this guy.
wealthy, witty, and just no nonsense, he is your guy. He
So
was talking
proactive.
about
Yeah,
some of
love.
his military experience, and he was directing planes. And he said that
Okay.
one of the things that he was working on was, just getting aircrafts in. And the way that he approached it was, what's going to make people die? Don't do that. And so he said through his career, that's how he approached his investing. That's how he approached his businesses, was what's
Yeah.
going to make us fail? What's going to make these people die? Let's just not do that. And so today,
Yeah.
this is the inspiration of today's topic, which is that email could have been answered in a meeting. Have you ever heard that?
That seems me. We
That
usually
is
hear the
correct. Ding,
reverse,
ding,
right?
ding.
Oh, that meeting could have
Yeah.
been an email. And there's certainly those
Correct.
cases. But in the spirit of Munger, talk to me about, because I think I have a sense of where you're going, but I also don't want to, you've thought about this. And there's a reason why meetings are superior at times to an email. So talk to me about why that email could have been solved in
Yeah,
a meeting.
in one of the last, podcasts, we were talking about that social
Yeah.
glue of
Yeah, right.
how we're communal, we're tribal beings. It's very important for us to have that community. And
100%.
generally, meetings end up being BS sessions or the only way that we can connect with our fellow human beings, right? Especially post-COVID.
Right, sure.
However, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And a
Yeah.
lot of the work is consistent, right? Or repeatable. But we have really terrible team meetings oftentimes that basically don't track the number of things that we need to go through or get through. And so,
Yeah.
one of the things, and we've talked about this multiple times, which is at Magic Button, we started putting in just living agendas. It's literally like having a Word doc that's shared between
Right.
everybody. And we basically, when we come up with a topic, we add a link to make sure that all of these items are done. Like all of the checklist items or the data is filled out or we're all informed. And it's been just ridiculously effective. And my guess is, realistically, it has saved emails. It's saved Slack messages.
Ooh.
It's saved many things because we're not trained to keep all of the topics in our head.
Right.
So,
What's
yeah.
percent true, right? It's the switching cost is high. And I remember we talked about this last year, well, or in 25, but the idea of you lose 20 to 25 minutes just going back and forth between things in terms of actual productivity. And then we're feeding things from each other with all of our various communication channels. But in a meeting, we have a chance to do things with
The
intention.
it's the meeting has the one it's the it has the one thing that email will never have, which is a active I've acknowledged this. And it's the one
Yeah.
thing that you can force in a meeting that you can't force anywhere else. You just can't do it. And so what's interesting is everybody's like, well, that could have been solved with an email. You're like, emailed like the town crier that's just out there yelling at people. And you're like, shut up and go
Oh my
home.
God. Yeah. Well, and because it's asynchronous, there's not a lot of certainty that it was
Correct.
received. And then if it was received and you get a read receipt, it's not necessarily confirmed that they understood and have enough context to
That's
action
correct.
It. Yeah.
But everybody, the email and the communication and the town crier yelling in the square at, you know, that you need to do something. There's lots of confidence in yelling. There's lots of confidence in sending stuff out, but there's not a whole lot of community.
Sure. No, 100%. Isn't that alarming? Yeah. Lots of people, lots of motion, not a lot of community, not a lot of.
And so what's interesting is the pattern that we've been taking is the meeting is the basically you pull up the Word doc, pull up the thing, go to the links and you go back to the Word doc and then you go to the next link and then you pull up the Word doc and you go back to the next link because there's so much stuff that we do. And it's by sharing the load, that social load of who's leading the meeting, it gives context to everybody. People are learning things along the way. Like the other day, someone was like, "Hey, you're doing that wrong." I was like, "What am I doing?" They're like, "Oh, you got to click the button," because we were trying to track our billable time. And you're like, "Oh, that makes so much sense." But if you think about this from a process standpoint, we choose, you know, and we talked about the thinking fast and slow. Oftentimes we choose that fast response, which is the email, the chat, the Slack, the text message, versus what is the information that I need to do my job really well, consistently over time? And do I have a view that we can communicate, like as a community that we can look at?
So, Chris, you know, to that end, when we are in a meeting, if somebody's not taking notes, then there's no trail. When we do the digital, there's a very literal trail of exchange, but we also don't have that confirmation that somebody's taking responsibility for next steps. And so talk to me a little bit and, you know, for those people good enough to share their time with us and listen in on these podcasts, there's a process dead element in both of these paths. Right. And so can you maybe speak to what it is that you see having shifted now that we've gone to a very structured meeting agenda where we're repeating, you know, certain activities? Some of that's just to make sure everybody has visibility to it and is asking and answering questions. So that feels educational. What else is going on in these meetings that makes it feel like the handshake of accountability is taking place for you?
That's a really good question. I think it's by the magic that happens here is that we have people that by having other people share the meeting, it has them put on a hat that's more managerial or executive.
And so
Sharing facilitation actually really helps saying, "Oh, well, what about this? Or where do I go?" Right? Because when you're driving, and if you're a manager and you're driving the meeting every single time, it's going to be done the same way and you're going to be missing the same thing over and over again. And then you're going to wonder why it's not happening. But when you have other people share it, you eliminate the Dunning-Kruger effect of assuming that what you know, everybody knows. And it normalizes that I don't know kind of culture that you want to get away from process debt. I think even in one of our original podcasts, we talk about like, can you have solid process if you don't have psychological safety? And I would argue that you probably don't, or you probably have more process debt versus less because you don't have this communal glue, this community that's basically making stuff better. The other thing that's interesting is when you do it in a shared doc and you're showing that shared doc and everybody has access to the doc, everybody's writing in the doc to make it better. And so it literally started as like three lines and then it gets bullet points and then it just gets better and better and better as you go along. And we, you know, since we are pointing to software, we're pointing to different software that have the reports in it. You know, the other thing that I was thinking the title for this meeting is, does your report have a meeting? Like I've been on a BI team for years and years and years, and it just felt like you were creating just mounds and mounds and mounds of reports that got used once.
and got used once.
Yeah. What's interesting, Chris, about the purpose of the meeting relative to process debt, you know, some of it is, did people see what I wanted them to see? And I think world of reports and BI, the expert that's swimming in the data and producing the report or is responsible for explaining the report is going to see certain things. And no executive leader, it's unfair to expect an executive leader just to receive a dashboard and appreciate all the nuances that it presents, right? There's both a lack of attention, there's decision fatigue, whatever else they reviewed just prior or subsequent to the review of that report is competing for attention. So that idea of if it's an important enough report, then do we have a meeting for it? Also, this the same idea is true, and I think I appreciate this logic that you're kind of calling out, which is through shared accountability, we all see value in the most important elements of a meeting. But we also start to observe where people have been kind of a free rider, you know, and they've gently nodded along, but they've no idea what the content of the meeting is about.
Well, the other thing so, that it, when you're leading the meeting, you inherently take on this responsibility of leading the meeting, and you realize, oh, it's hard to get people to do anything.
Maybe that's at the heart of it, right? Is the shared pain of leadership.
Yeah, and it's very interesting, like getting people to do something the same over and over and over is very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. The idea of getting to boring work, which we talked about not so long ago, but I've thought a lot about that, you know, since that podcast. And, getting too boring means that business is consistent and that everybody's staying on top of the work that they are responsible for. But also that they're raising their hand in between meetings. You know, there's some proactive work that has to take place, and the shared accountability makes it visible.
The interesting thing is, like, everybody wants to make a change, right? We tend to be creative. We like the nuanced. We like all these things. Yeah. But when you force that process to go through a meeting, it's a whole different lens, because that forcing of it changes your time horizon. Because to write an email with GPTs, you know, it takes 10 seconds. You don't even have to read it and send it off. Right now, I'm not saying that that's right, but there is this assumption that actually solved your problem. And the reality is it just alleviated that stress because you have now emotionally let go of that, because now it's on someone else's plate. The reality is you have no acknowledgement whether that person picked it up. You have no acknowledgement of whether they know what you're talking about. You don't, like, there's no almost like this yes, chef. Like moment, right? Like, we don't have a yes chef moment in knowledge work, right? Whereas kitchens, it's yes chef all the time, because it's that call response that if you probably went back through human history, that has effective process, human processes had some sort of call response. Like, have you ever worked in a kitchen?
No, none that would have me. I've snuck in it. I peed in the same terrain following Fight Club as we were supposed
I was a server when I was in college, and it was just super crazy. Lots of one-off communication, like going around a corner. Like, there's a lot of these things that, like, kitchens do high stress, high, you know, they also have high process. It's not like you're going to create a new burger menu every single time, but it is interesting that they do have this, they do have this culture of, if I'm going to shout something, I have to be acknowledged that it's been heard. And we don't, that's not, it doesn't, that doesn't live in most corporate environments.
Yeah. I'm going to interrupt for a second and say the yes chef, if you're not familiar with it, listeners, you apparently have fallen behind on there. And so you've got some homework. But having not worked in a kitchen, But having observed that culture, you know, through the, and I've heard that described as shades of reality, just the mania, but also there's a hierarchy in that world. And it's abundantly clear that one person is the shot caller. One person is the air traffic controller for the team. And I feel like as we've moved, even during my career, as we've moved from a hierarchical structure where the senior most person is making the decisions and assigning work to more collaborative teams, I have noticed that some team members feel like they can opt in or not to some of the work being distributed.
And depending on how popular you are with the person that's doing air traffic control, you can either slide, not do stuff. Like you get, you end up having more career leniency than other folks.
It's an interesting observation, Chris. The value of the meeting, if I kind of roll back to where we started, like, the email should have been a meeting, maybe is another way to rephrase it. It's not just about communicating content. And this idea about the yes, chef, the acknowledgement and that sense of accountability, making a commitment to somebody else, it does not happen digitally by receiving a task in the task management
system. And the other thing is, like, if you're not seeing your work, like, it's the difference between manual labor and knowledge work. Like, our work is not seen, but our work lives somewhere, right? Unfortunately, lives That's in email right. or lives in, you know, lives in Jira or lives in Monday or lives in Asana or pick your tool. But why not look at where your work lives? And the problem, I think, most of the time is we're embarrassed, because if we really went into our work lives, you know, our rooms would be very, very, very messy. But we don't want to admit it, but like that's the reality.
Yeah. For the longest time, I have professionally encouraged folks to organize their work and work management systems, and have observed myself and a number of others that are really operating their work management system is basically their inbox, because that's the air traffic control. And so then you layer in, you know, somebody sending a text message that you can no longer set a reminder on, you can readily file away, and then you have Slack. So this multi-channel world is kind of forcing so many workers to identify a place to organize and track all
One of the future topics we should talk about is reaction is not work. Like, reaction is reaction, right? Maybe next time.
Yeah. In the narrative. Boy, that's, like, I love that.
It can be, and it can be the right work, but oftentimes it's reaction is distraction. Maybe that's our next topic.
Next week.
There we go.
More meetings. If we're driving accountability, once accountability is established, find that, best
at the end of the day, spend 15 minutes thinking about what you want to know from your team that's not going to change in the next 2 to 3 years. Figure out where that information lives and create a Word doc or a shared Confluence page or whatever. Click on that every time you meet. And
love it.
Then as people bring up new things, because there's all sorts of work that we don't even consider until it becomes business critical, start adding more links. But reduce your emails by having better meetings. That's your process to topic of the week.
I love it.
It's just that easy. Thanks, man.
Sure.
Catch you, man.
See you later.
Bye.
All right.